Scripture reading this morning will be from Luke 1, beginning in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
As has been mentioned in our announcements, we're going to be having a meeting next weekend with Alan Cornett, and the flyers I've put on the little stool that's as you go out of the building. I'd love everybody to take at least one announcement to remind yourself. We've got the topics listed. And take as many as you would like to hand out to others. We can print these off in an instant. Quite an opportunity we're going to have this coming weekend. I also want to just commend the congregation here. We did this discussion Thursday night with some Mormon representatives, and we probably had close to 100 people that came. We kind of, this was a low-key event. We didn't really push it. But the thing that impressed me so much about the event was after it was over, the Mormon representatives came to me and said that the thing that surprised them the most was how friendly everyone was. And I appreciate that. I think we had a good exchange, discussion. I think it was profitable. We do have some CDs of that discussion on the foyer. We're going to be putting everything on the net. And we likewise, I've had some opportunities that I'm going to have to meet with some of those that came from the Mormon representatives, to meet with them, to get to know them better. And let's pray that good things will happen from such a discussion. This morning I want to talk with you about Mary, the mother of Jesus. For some reason, I haven't heard a lot of lessons about her over the years. And there's a lot in the Bible to talk about her character and her life. And we need to look at what the Holy Spirit said about this wonderful woman and look at the example that she gives to us. It's already been read in our hearing. We read about Gabriel speaking of Mary. And in Luke 1:28, this statement is made to her. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Christian, could I ask this of you? Would you want God to say that about you, man or woman? Would you want God to say you are a highly favored one and you're blessed? If you're a spiritual-minded person, you would. But let me show you what that's going to mean for her. The world would look at Mary and say that her life was a tragedy and difficult it was. But in looking at Mary, we're going to understand exactly what it means to live this life and what it means to be highly favored by God. It's going to be something very different than the world gives. We're going to be in our college class on Wednesday night, our comparative religion study. Our next group that we're going to talk about is Pentecostalism. And there's a movement within Pentecostalism that's called the Health and Wealth Movement. And basically it says that if you're right with God, God's going to give you money. And God's going to give you wealth. And everybody's going to love you. And, well, not as you look at Scripture. To be highly favored by God means that God's going to give you a difficult work. God is going to accomplish something through you. And the more highly favored you are, the more difficult the work is going to be. And it's interesting as you go through Scripture. What does it mean to be a Christian? Why am I here? How do I know if I'm accomplishing what I need to accomplish in this life? If you look at it from God's perspective, you're going to give yourself and pour yourself out in the work of the Lord. In Philippians 2, verse 17, Paul says, yes, if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, also be glad and rejoice with me. You know what a drink offering is? A drink offering is you take some valuable drink that somebody would enjoy in drinking or using in some way, and this is something that is valuable, and you pour it out into the dirt, and it's gone. It's a sacrifice. The best thing that could be said of us is that my life could be used as a sacrifice, and it may be done in the background, and men may not notice. But God will. And those few people that are brought in the realm of my life will. So let's talk about that as we study the example of Mary. There's something about seeing it in a person that is powerful. Paul said, the things which you've learned, received, and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. We're going to see the example of a great faith. Now you know who Jesus Christ is. God decided to become man. Now you think about this. What kind of parents would God choose? Now that's awesome. The Creator is choosing a parent. And so in that, God is going to choose the ones that would most represent His will. We didn't choose our own parents. God chose the parents of Jesus. And so as he chose these parents, what would he choose? Somebody that had riches? Somebody that was popular? Certainly he wouldn't choose somebody to have any time for children. Mary was a dedicated mother. And so what she began to do is you read about Mary. Listen to Mary as she praises God and prays to God. Listen to her thinking, it's God. I exalt my God. My life, my essence, my joy, my purpose is God. Listen to her. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth for all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Notice this woman. She knows the nature of God, and she's comfortable in his presence, and she rejoices. She understands mercy, forgiveness. And she understands it's not going to be in the things of this world. She's happy and rejoicing and serving. That'll be a repeated thing in this sermon. Service, service, service. And he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers and to Abraham and to his seed forever. I don't know what kind of home you were raised in. As I said, we can't choose our parents. But for those of you who have been raised by godly parents and who have had a godly mother and a mother who loved God and loved you and was willing to put aside other things to be a servant, you know what I'm talking about. What blessings God has given us. And I will tell you, Mary didn't come from out of the blue sky. We don't read about her parents, but I guarantee you, we had learned about her parents, we would have found one or both parents would have been parents of faith. Timothy was one that was described. That where did he get his faith from? 2 Timothy 1:5, when I called to remember the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in you also. And by the way, in this case, Timothy likely didn't have a believing father. We don't read much about him. And in this case, the mothers are given the credit. And I want to encourage those that may be single parents, that may be trying to deal with a difficult situation in your home. You can be godly, and you can be a servant, and you can instill faith in your children. Now, Mary was to have a mate, and that was Joseph. Joseph, a man, as we'll see later, is described as a righteous man, one who loved God. It's interesting as you read about her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth and Zacharias, and this would be characteristic of Joseph and Mary as well. It says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinance of the Lord blameless. Let me say something. I mentioned about how a single parent or a parent who is married and one has faith and one has not faith, that you can instill faith in your children. It's far better to marry someone who is a Christian. There's great power in that. And I'll say this again. If you are a Christian and you've married another Christian and here you have your family, you've got something that is precious. And fight for that. Fight to preserve it. Fight to put that first. To put God first, and in that build your home in the Lord. Jesus was going to be known by his parents the rest of his life. Even during his ministry, he was going to be known as Joseph's son. And so as we begin to understand that Mary, if she was to identify herself, Mary, what's your relationship with God? I'm a maidservant. I'm a slave. In Luke 1:48 it says, for he is regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. You know, we live in a day, and even within the church, we kind of want to move up a ladder. We want to be recognized. We want to somehow feel like we've got some kind of accomplishment. And we can be so tempted to look at brethren and want brethren to praise us. 2 Corinthians 10 talks about some within the church that they were comparing themselves with others. 2 Corinthians 10:12. And verse 18 says, that's foolish. Don't worry about the commendation of brethren and of others. Let the Lord praise you. The Lord wants servants. When you stand in the power of God and the holiness of God, when you come to understand God, you can't view yourself as anything else. The glory of man seems as nothing. Being a lowly servant is what God wants. And you can go through Paul, when Paul described himself in Romans, the bondservant of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, he says, I don't seek to please men. Colossians 4, he says he was a bondservant of Christ. Let me ask this question. Why did Jesus come? What ultimately did God want his son to do? He didn't come on the clouds in glory when he came to this earth. He didn't come as a king on a throne with great power and might that everybody would praise him because of what they could see. He came as a servant. It says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is the mark of being a Christian, where I can let somebody else have the limelight. I'll let somebody else get the credit. Let me serve. Let me build. Let it start in my home. That's what God wants. And so, again, I've got a misprint here. In the outline, in the overhead here, it means when we forget this, we run from, not for, we run from God's blessing, and we end up fighting God. Brethren, you're going to be a servant. That's going to be hard. And let's talk about what that means now, if we could. We talk about Mary, and we talk about how she would be one that was going to be a servant. How do you build faith? If I'm going to have this attitude, is the world going to say, oh, you're a servant? What a great thing you're doing. Now, if you're serving them, they'd like it. But the world as a whole, you know, the idea of not being recognized, of not moving up the ladder, man, that's a terrible thing. You need to look at what you want and go and get it, and you need credit. By men, the world would say. You know, when you begin to take the path of a Christian, you're going to take a lonely path in regard to this world. People are going to look at you and they're going to laugh at you. People are going to look at you and say, what do you mean? You're going to be spending time with your children and not going out here and pursue some career and let somebody else take care of these children. You mean you're going to take this path when you could have this, this, and this? Now, who did she associate with? When she found out she was pregnant, she went to those we read about earlier, Zacharias and Elizabeth, people who love the Lord. That's the kind of people she wanted to be around. It's says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth." When you become a servant, you know the world's not going to help you. You want to be with other Christians. One of the great things that we need here, brethren, if we want to be stronger as a church, if we want to be stronger in our service, we need to know one another. We need to have associations with one another. We need to be the kind of people, because we're not of the world, we need our batteries recharged by being around people of like mind. Wonder what they talked about. We read about some things. The Bible says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And there he said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." They're talking about the promises of God. Do you have that kind of association? I'm hoping that when we get together as Christians, that one of the things we'd like to talk about is just how great God is. And the things that he's doing, and the things about God. It's good for Christians to be together and associate, but we need to be the kind of people that will associate about our God and not be ashamed to talk about our faith. Strong faith doesn't come from anywhere. I'm going to go to Roman numeral 2 now in the outline. Roman numeral 2. Now here's the focal point of my sermon today. I want you to put your thinking cap on. And I think this will challenge you. But when you think about Mary, you say, "Oh man, I wonder what her life... She's the Son of God is being born through her womb. God is with her in a way that you would say, well, just imagine the joy that she's going to have in her life, and she's going to have joy. But one thing our God will do for everyone who loves him, he's going to put you through trials. And put you through trials for your good. In 1 Peter 1, 6 it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." How many of you have ever played a sport? How many of you have ever participated in a sport that required great physical activity? You know, we're getting to the time of the year, you know, it's starting to warm up. People get out their exercise program, you know. They'll join the gyms or they'll get out there and try to jog down the street. And if you haven't been doing that, what's that like? Yeah, you go out and then your body, I remember, forget the first time. It was about this time of year because it was during basketball season, I remember it. I decided back in 1979. That I was going to lose weight. And I started out by running a mile. I'll never forget finishing that mile. I remember sitting down on my bed and thinking I was going to die. And I can remember not being able to move, just sitting there. And then I really remember the next day when I tried to get up from bed. Man, there were muscles that I'd never felt before and knew. And it hurt even worse the next day. As many of you know me, I've kind of been a regular runner since then, and running a mile's nothing. But in order for me to get to the point where one day I competed in a few marathons and things like that, I had to start with the first mile, and it was painful. Was that pain worth it? Yes, it was preparing me for something greater in the realm of that sport. That's how God works with us. Mary is going to go through various trials and tests until ultimately, we look at the toward later in her life, she faced some massive tests. But God was doing this so that Mary could be a blessing. That's what Romans 5 talks about in verse 3. It says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." Philippians 1:29 puts it this way, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." Now, here's what I want you to think about. If this was you. Now, look what God puts Mary through. Look what she has to go through. The very beginning here. Now you think about this. Somebody who loves God, what would they think about fornication, immorality, premarital sex. What would they think about that? And here was Mary that was pure. Her fiancé was pure. They loved God. And now the message comes to Mary that you have a child now in your womb. Now get this. God doesn't tell Joseph that at first. And Mary's got to go to Joseph and said, I have a child, but it's through the Holy Spirit. I'm still a virgin. That's a test for Joseph and a test for Mary. And here's Mary. You know, what's Joseph going to do? Joseph's going to go, you have a child and you're a virgin? Could you imagine the test? Could you imagine the pain that she went through? And here Joseph, you know, I want to believe you. The Bible tells us that Joseph was going to put her away privately and not go through the process in which she could be executed. Joseph and Mary are righteous people, and through the plan of God, they're going through a tough situation. Notice Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Why did the Lord do that? Lord is going to tell Mary, why didn't you tell Joseph? It was a test. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow. Ever thought about that one? That would have been a test beyond test. But God let this happen because he's preparing both Joseph and Mary for some more sterner tests. And hear what Mary did. Mary learned from the Lord that this child was from the Lord. And she told her one that he's betrothed to, her fiancé, that this was going to happen. Probably saw in his eyes the doubt that he had. But she was going to trust in God. In Psalms 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patient for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. There are times in this life you do what is right and people think you're wrong. There are times in this life you simply live for the Lord and there's misrepresentation and there's misunderstanding and there's slander and there's all kinds of mess that go on, and you wait on the Lord. You know in your conscience what you have done. That was a test. But now think about this one. What would it be like to be the mother of a child that is essence, the creator of the universe? You know, I can remember in the raising of our children, you know, the difference in men and women. If our son didn't wear things as he ought to or messed up his clothes or so on, they wouldn't look at me. They wouldn't say what Larry's doing. They'd think about Yvette. Yvette, you know, as any mother would, if their child did something wrong, they'd take that pretty personal. If the child is different, That puts a lot of pressure on the mother. You mothers know what we're talking about here. You want your child to belong. You want your child to be like others. And there are times our children aren't like others. And there's nothing wrong with that. But could you imagine raising the creator of the universe? The Bible doesn't fill in the blanks here. And there are some people tried to come up with fictitious stories in the 3rd, 4th, 5th century, trying to suggest things in the childhood of Jesus that are fictitious. But that had to be a challenge. We read about, even before the child was born, it says it had happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. For why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me?" Again, I don't know all the answers, and that you can look at the other passages here. But there were challenges that was brought to her. Now, here's another challenge, and this is a big one. Somewhere in the process in the raising of Jesus, we don't know when or what, Joseph likely died. We don't read about Joseph anymore outside of this account. And so now here she is raising a child that is very different. We don't know all the aspects of that. She knows that even the prophets told her at the birth of the child Simeon that there's going to be a sword driven through her heart, ultimately. But now she's got to be basically a single parent. And could you imagine in having a child like this? There were times Jesus, during his ministry, and even as a child, he would say things that would be extraordinarily challenging to her as a mother. In Matthew 12 and verse 46, it says, "While he was still talking to the multitudes, his mothers and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.' But he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?'" In the essence here, he's saying that, yes, I have physical parents, but there are those that are greater. And the mother of Jesus, Mary, would see things like that. She wouldn't fully understand what was going on, and she as a mother would want to reach out to her child and want to have a certain response, and there was going to be different. In verse 49, it says, "He stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, is my brother and sister and mother.'" Now think about this one. Imagine again, you looking at that baby, and you see that baby come to be a toddler. And you see that toddler grow to be a younger child, and you watch that child develop, and in the back of your mind, you're saying, this child is from the Holy Spirit, and this child is the creator of the universe. She had some challenges. And it wasn't just her who had the challenges. The other children, could you imagine? Your big brother is the creator of the world? That created challenges. In John 7 and verse 3, it says, "His brothers therefore said to him, 'Depart from here and go to Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you're doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world,' for even his brothers did not believe in him." Challenges. Now she would know, because she knew how the child came, that this child was from God, and so therefore she wouldn't be quite like the brothers. But you would be challenged to your core to be thinking, what's God doing here? And could you imagine, as a mother, you love all of your children, and here there is now division in the household. And that had to hurt. And here, I mean, she could have been tempted at any point, "Lord, why are you putting me through this? Why don't you just come down here and tell my children what this is? Why don't you tell me what's going on?" Challenges. And so as we look at this, we understand how God is working. I'll tell you something. If Jesus came today, wonder what his occupation might be. If Jesus was born in Auburn, Alabama, which he's not going to be, we know that's not going to happen again. What would you do if you went down to the oil change place and there's somebody working on your car and somebody says, "Hey, this Son of God, this creator of the universe, you know, he was a carpenter. If you had met Jesus before his ministry, he'd have been ankle deep in wood shavings and dirty from work. And here, could you imagine going to the oil change place? Here's Son of God." He cleans his hands up and says, "Here, I want to shake your hand." You go, "Come on." Faith was a challenge. And so, the greatest challenge, though, that Mary was going to go through, what all these other challenges would lead up to, she watched him die. Folks, watching your child die is just mind-blowing. But watching your child die by one of the most cruelest forms of execution ever devised by man, I can't imagine. And then watching that execution and watching the people that should be the religious leaders of the nation that I serve, and they are laughing at him and spitting at him and making fun of him and howling and having a big time as his blood is coming out of his body and he's dying. And I'm the mother and I'm watching this. Yes, indeed, the sword is being driven into the heart. Simeon's prophecy. Luke 2:34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Could you have done this? John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, it's not that his mother's seeing him, they're communicating. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. Let's finish this sermon with a very important point. Mary from heaven would look back and say that she's glad her life was lived in this way. She wouldn't have it any other way. She was blessed. Because what she did is she was a part of blessing the whole world, not only by the fact that Jesus came through her, but her faith is an example for us today. And we need to hear more about her. And true it was that she was in the background during this time, but you know, she could teach us, folks, we can be a powerful influence and be in the background. We don't have to be in the front. You mind being a bondservant? Paul described himself and his work as an apostle here. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You consider yourselves maybe a McDonald's cup? Yeah, that's the idea here. You use it, and after you take the McDonald's cup, don't you put it in the dishwasher? And then you polish it and put it up in your cabinets, right? You just keep those McDonald's cups because they're... No, you use the McDonald's cup for the purpose in which it's used, and then you throw it away. That's what I am, and that's what you are. Sometimes I worry about men that may be preachers or may be in some other position, and somehow they just can't. They view themselves as having some position that they can't lose this popularity or this position. I've seen men that would tear churches apart because they don't want to leave. I'm just a usable guy. You use me up. Let me be useful at a place. Let me be useful in my home. Let me be useful in any position I'm in. And when it's time to go, go. You know, I'm just a vessel. You're a vessel. Ultimately, let God be glorified. That's my goal. That should be your goal. Let me bless others. Let me be used. By the way, remember the problem she had in her family? Acts 1:14. By the time the resurrection has occurred, the ascension, the Bible says these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. One thing we know, that before it's all done, Jesus' brothers, Jesus' family had come together as believers. And I want to tell you something. Mary had a great role in that. Another thing that she would know, that God would take care of her. She didn't have her husband anymore, and now Jesus is gone. But remember the arrangement that Jesus made? John basically took her as his own mother. And by the way, John had a blessing there too. Brethren, one of the things, we've got a younger congregation. And I'm hoping I'm making a point with you to appreciate your parents, to appreciate your grandparents, to appreciate the effort that has been put into building your faith. Don't be like so many in this generation to consider the elderly as somebody that's in the way. Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Don't you walk away from your parents who took care of you. And one day you just want to just cast them off somewhere else. Jesus continued to take care of Mary. And he'll take care of all of us. The Bible says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I've already mentioned this, but we'll draw the lesson to a close with this. Was it worth it? Do you want to be highly favored of the Lord? Do you want to go through a path like that? Well, I'm going to tell you something. God will put you through a path as a Christian in what you can handle. He won't tempt you beyond what you're able. The greater the faith, the greater the trial. But she now could go, she's now in a favorable relationship with God. She's going to go to heaven. She's with the righteous today. And she could look back with all the righteous and they look at the suffering and the difficulties and they say, yes, it was worth it. Revelation 21 and verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Christian, how do we view success? How do we view our life? What's your plan? What do you hope to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? How about this one? 200 years. We can make some bad choices. Church at Laodicea is described by the Lord in verse 17. It says, because you say, I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing. I got money. I got comfort. I'm doing great. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you might be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. We are stubborn. And the Lord in his mercy will let us go through the fire, that we might with our eyes see what really lasts. I hope these lessons, anything I preach, I hope you'll take the passages and go deeper. There are some wonderful examples we can find in Scripture. Christian, we're the richest people on earth. We are blessed beyond measure. And I pray that in our lives we'll always be humble enough to see it. And if we're not, that the Lord in his mercy will knock us down, that we might understand what is really important. We want to extend the invitation now. If you're not a Christian, we want to invite you to a life of suffering. We want to invite you to a life of pain and difficulty in which you're going to be different from the whole world. We're going to invite you today to be crucified. Not literally, but the Bible tells us that the conversion process is kind of like crucifixion. Galatians 2:20, Paul talked about that. That's a daily activity for the Christian. You no longer are alive, but the Lord lives in you. We invite you today to have the forgiveness of God, the care of God, and the life of God. Do you know Jesus is the Son of God? He If you come as his own brothers did to go through a period of doubt, but now you believe, you know who he is, we urge you, we'd encourage you to turn your will to him in repentance. We'd love to take your confession of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we'd be glad to baptize you into Christ this morning to take those first steps. Christian, let us think about the example we've seen today. Who are we? How do we view our life? And I pray that each of us will leave here today understanding what great blessings God has given us. May God be merciful to us all and help us in our sufferings to better understand the working of God and the blessings he will give. If you could, we can assist you in any way. Would you come as we stand and as we sing?